Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. My fellow Americans, today was supposed to be a special day. A day that Donald Trump had to either fork over $464 million for a bond in his New York fraud case, or Attorney General Letitia James was going to grab him by the property. But then, this morning, a New York appeals court cut Trump's bond to $175 million. And gave him 10 more days to pay. Every time it seems like consequences of any kind are closing in, he gets away with it. Who let this guy wish for more wishes? Especially after how racist he was to the genie. In addition to cutting the bond by more than half and giving him an extension, the appeals court paused restrictions on Trump running any New York company or obtaining a loan from a New York bank, as well as the restrictions on his adult sons, which means now Don Jr. and Eric can still open their hot dog and cocaine carts. They do a fine business. The pundits are saying the court handed Trump a lifeline. Well, that makes sense. By law, you have to throw someone a lifeline when they look that much like a waterlogged corpse. Trump, of course, has said many, many times he could pay this $500 million bond because he's really rich. But can we fact check that, Jim?
I'm really rich.
There you go. That checks out. But Trump kept trying to weasel his way out of putting up the $500 million. And last week, his lawyers claimed that for their super rich client, securing the bond would be a practical impossibility. So he doesn't have the cash. Aha. Caught you now. He's not a real rich guy. He just plays one on TV. Donald Trump has $1 billion the same way Patrick Stewart has a spaceship.
Come on.
Apparently, isn't it this weekend? This weekend, Trump was struggling to find an insurance company willing to underwrite his bond. Hello, Geico Gecko. Would you give me $500 million? No? That is outrageous. I demand to speak to your caveman. No, I've already tried all the banks. Tyra, Azalea, Special Agent Cody. Hello? And Click. Anyway, the appeals court cut the amount to only $175 million, even though on Friday, Trump said he has $500 million in cash, undercutting his lawyer's claims. That's like if O.J. tried to put on the glove and said, this doesn't fit, but I do love stabbing. Stab, stab, stabbity, stab. Stabbity, stab. Oh, wait, but here's the thing. There is some good Trump legal news today. You may recall that he is also facing criminal charges in the Stormy Daniels hush money case, when she spanked him with a magazine before marinating his shiitake. That trial was delayed when some new documents came to light just a few weeks ago. Trump's lawyers were pushing for an even longer delay. But today, the judge announced the trial would begin on April 15th.
Yep.
There it is. There she goes. I have to admit, Donald Trump has done the impossible. He has made April 15th a day to celebrate. And, my fellow Americans, this shall be an historic day. We are now set for the first criminal prosecution of an ex-president in U.S. history. but only because Ford pardoned Nixon for streaking in the 1973 Super Bowl. After the ruling, Trump spoke to the press at what appears to be some sort of flag storage facility. And, well, he got a little confused.
You can't have an election in the middle of a political season.
No. No, no, it's so true. No, listen, folks, we can't have an election in a political season. We also can't have Christmas in the middle of the holidays. Come on. And I promise you, when I'm back in the White House, there will be no car sales allowed during Toyota-thon. It's too sacred. Immediately after that, he shared this nugget of wisdom.
We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already.
And we all know you can't have more than two Tuesdays because two Tuesdays makes a Fours Day. Now, one reporter at this gaggle here asked Trump about the potential political cost of losing the hush money trial.
Would you be concerned that a conviction, if you are convicted in that trial, could cost you the election, given what Todd said voters are...
Well, it could also make me more popular.
So, the guiltier he is, the more the crowd loves him. It's never a great sign when your press conference answers could just as easily be cackled by the Joker. Trump went after the prosecutor in the case, Matthew Colangelo, who he claims tried to trick the public.
Colangelo has been sitting in the background for the last year. Today he went right up front because they figure he buffaloed the whole public and the writers, including you people. He got him buffaloed.
Yes. We've all been buffaloed, which is a devious legal maneuver where you're dipped in a delicious tangy sauce, then served with a piece of wet celery. Trump was also asked whether he'd accept financial help from outside the United States.
No, I don't do that. I think you'd be allowed to, possibly. I don't know.
I mean, you could. I don't know. But Russia, if you're listening, maybe you know if it's legal. Could you write the answer down on 500 million pieces of paper and have it put in my account? Could you? We also got a glimpse inside the courtroom thanks to sketch artists, including this one of a grinning Trump at the defense table. He looks like a happy frog. And I know that because when I Googled happy frog, I got this. Now, with all this going on, yesterday, Donald Trump kept laser focus on what's most important to the struggling nation, golf. He truthed, "It is my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight, awards night, to receive the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both." Wow. He won both. Yes. You know what that means. Somebody else won both. Trump went on to describe the tournament, and the words got salady. "A large and golfing-talented membership. A great and difficult course made the play very exciting. We also have a big and omelet-stationing restaurant and a small and secret documenting bathroom. I won both." Against all odds, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, today, we continue to have a government. You see, last week, House Speaker Mike Johnson worked with Democrats to pass a funding bill to avoid a shutdown. It was a bipartisan effort to ensure basic government function. So naturally, that enraged Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Seen here after spotting a three-legged poodle at the dog parade. Now, to punish Speaker Johnson for daring to do stuff, on Friday, Greene introduced a motion to vacate against Johnson, threatening a vote to oust him. She's attacking him for doing his job. It's like writing a review for your wedding photographer that says, "Zero stars, that pervert took pics of me and my wife kissing." What else? Oh, there's news from the world of the sky. Today, the CEO of Boeing stepped down. Either that, or they never installed the bolts that keep him in the boardroom. He just blew out. This guy, yeah! Yeah! This all comes after a series of high-altitude whoopsies. The Alaska Airlines disappearing door plug, engines catching on fire, one plane's wheels just coming off on takeoff, and my seat back screen rebooting in the middle of Jumanji 2. Now I'll never know if The Rock finds the Falcon Jewel and/or his ability to let go of the past. But they had to do something. Things have gotten so bad for the company that nervous travelers are changing their flights to avoid Boeing airplanes. I'm sorry, but there is no way to avoid Boeing airplanes. Even if you're just walking down the street, their doors come to you. On the way out. True story. On the way out, the CEO thanked one of his fellow execs for his tireless service. Yes, the service, just like some of their planes, was tireless. We got a great show for you tonight.
More Late Show Pod Show after this.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, folks, I don't know if you have noticed, but we do a lot of shows, and I tell a lot of jokes, and I tell jokes about a lot of different things, mostly what everybody's talking about. And for the last 6 weeks to 2 months, everybody has been talking about the mystery of Kate Middleton's disappearance from public life. And 2 weeks ago, we did some jokes about that mystery and all the attendant, you know, frou-fra in the reporting about that. And when I made those jokes, that upset some people. And even before her diagnosis was revealed. And I can understand that. I mean, a lot of my jokes have upset people in the past. And I'm sure some of my jokes will upset people in the future. But there's a standard that I try to hold myself to. And that is, I do not make light of somebody else's tragedy. Now, I don't know whether her prognosis is a tragic one. She's the future Queen of England, and I assume she's going to get the best possible medical care. But regardless of what it is, I know, and I'm sure many of you, far too many of us know, that any cancer diagnosis of any kind is harrowing for the patient and for their family. And though I'm sure they don't need it from me, I and everyone here at The Late Show would like to extend our well wishes and heartfelt hope that her recovery is swift and thorough. Now, please say hello to Louis Cato and the Late Show Band. Louis. Louis, you know, we have the stars on this show.
Yes, we do.
We have your movie stars. Mm-hmm. We have your TV stars. We have your musical stars. You have your literary stars. We have your politicians. But very few people have Supreme Court justices on their show. Justice right Stephen Breyer right will be out here in just a moment.
That's right.
If you stick around for that. Now, folks, if you watch the show, you know I spend most of my time over there. In the rolling news fields, cultivating the day's finest Nebari Goshi story wheat, which I grind into the most topical dough, then roll out and filled with minced kurubutu pork, hakusai cabbage, and koshizu scallions, then gently steamed to serve you the bright yet layered hamamatsu mushi gyoza dumpling that is my monologue. But sometimes, just sometimes, folks, I'm nudged awake by the pack of wolves that nursed me back to health after being left for dead by moonshiners. When I scrape some acorns and slugs into a damp taco shell I stole from a possum and then cower in the rain under an abandoned cement mixer to nibble on the trash-packed scrumble pouch of news that is my segment.
Meanwhile...
There it is. That's the only protection from the wind and the weather I need. Meanwhile, bad news for fans of pricey Belgian ales. Production of Duvel beer was hit by a cyber attack. Oh, no! I hope it doesn't make it harder to find that beer I've never heard of. Meanwhile, police in Italy recently pulled over a 103-year-old traffic offender. That is unbelievable. Italy has traffic laws? I thought their street signs just say, do whatever you want, I'm not your mama. I speak fluent Italian, as you can tell. Me italiano molto male, ma voglio parlare migliore. Bravo. Bellissima. Meanwhile, good news if you're one of those eaters who only check the expiration date after your eyeballs start sweating. A gastroenterologist says that if your immune and gut system are healthy, for the vast majority of people, if they accidentally consume a little bit of mold, really not much happens. Explains Arby's new slogan, see, it's fine. Happens? Figure it out. The doc here says the amount of mold someone eats will impact the body's reaction. If someone were to consume a large amount of mold, they might experience nausea, indigestion, cramping, and possibly diarrhea. So enjoy your mold in moderation. There's a reason why mold is the smallest part of the food pyramid. Meanwhile, in a new study, vaping has been linked to mental health issues. Who would have thought the birthday donut smoke that turns your lungs into popcorn could be bad for you? Vape users who participated in the study reported symptoms including lower levels of mindfulness, worse sleep quality, and heightened levels of rumination. Heightened levels of rumination is a pretty philosophical sounding symptoms. What were the survey questions like? Do you feel A, sad, B, tired, C, haunted by the raven of time that hovers over each moment, a sea of nothing in its eyes, or D, hangry. Meanwhile, Miriam Margulies, who played Professor Sprout in the Harry Potter movies, said in a recent interview that adult Harry Potter fans should be over that by now. To which adult Harry Potter fans replied, someone went to Slytherin. She elaborated, people say, we're having a Harry Potter-themed wedding, and I think, gosh, what's their first night of fun going to be? Pretty great, if they know parcel tongue. Meanwhile, news from Frontier, the airline that makes every flight feel like you woke up at dawn and cleared an acre of land. Starting April 10th, Frontier will offer Upfront Plus, where it will block the sale of the middle seat so you have no middle seat neighbor. Not to be outdone, and this is real, fellow budget airline Spirit Airlines offers the big front seat at the front of the plane for an upcharge. And by big front seat, they mean that they will strap you to the nose cone. That's nice.
Never let us. Never let up.
Meanwhile, in car news, Porsche just unveiled one of the fastest road cars in the world. Perfect for you to drive as fast as you can away from the feeling that all you are is a car guy now, and Linda doesn't love you, and maybe she never did. It sounds weird, but that's their slogan. Porsche, your wife is going to leave you.
Coming up, Justice Stephen Breyer.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a rarity. My first guest tonight spent 28 years serving on the Supreme Court of the United States. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Justice Stephen Breyer. Since the last time we spoke, and I'm honored that you would come on. It's fascinating to talk to a member of the Supreme Court then and former member now. Since last we were on, you retired from the Supreme Court, and now you're teaching at Harvard University, and is your fancy. Why not just kick it back on the beach and have a margarita, my bra? Why are you not just taking it easy?
It's March, and it's cold.
Not down there. I'll send you some links. You'll love some wonderful places. But why aren't you just taking it easy? Why do you want to teach now and write books?
I want to write this book for a reason, and I want people to understand what I see as the problems at the Supreme Court. I want them to understand how we go about deciding things. Mm-hmm. I want them to focus on what I think is the real issue, is the way in which different judges have different approaches, legal approaches, mm-hmm. towards different questions. And unless they know that, I think they cannot form at least my kind of opinion on what's right and what's wrong about it. And I wanted to write that down in language that every person could understand.
Okay.
I hope I've succeeded.
Well, I want to understand it myself. The last time you and I were talking, I learned from previous experience with you not to ask you about specific cases, so I will not do that. But I might ask about general ideas, okay? For instance, let me ask you just one general idea not pertaining to a particular case. Mm-hmm. Do you, former Justice Breyer, believe that former presidents have absolute immunity from prosecution for crimes committed while in office? Do you think, does that seem like a natural yes from you?
That seems like a general idea.
It is. That is a general idea. Do former presidents have absolute immunity? It's not specific about one person. Would any president have that? I'm just curious what you, snap judgment, don't think about it, go.
I agree that you have a general idea. I can't go farther.
You're
I can't because of the...
No fun. Then I'll ask you something that I think you can answer. Is like, what do you think the purpose of the Insurrection Clause was?
I haven't looked at... what
it's
I
It's in the Constitution.
About,
it's an excellent little
it
read.
It is.
It's only the 14th Amendment. Tell me you read that far. Okay, there it is. Okay, all right. Someone's got a constitution all the time. All right. All right, so, but anyway, you know this document. I'm just curious, why does it include no definition of what insurrection is? Do you have any idea? Because it does say how someone could be reinstated, and it says that someone who committed insurrection can't run for office. Why does it need an actuating law or action by Congress to impose the sanction for insurrection. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm tempted to say something like, but I wasn't there when it was written. My grandchildren think I was, but in fact, I wasn't. And really what I'm doing is avoiding the question.
Okay.
The reason...
Right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Justice Stephen Breyer, everybody. Stick around.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with the author of Reading the Constitution. It is Justice Stephen Breyer. If it pleases the court, in the non-hypothetical presidential immunity arguments, okay, coming up in April, Politico, okay, this is about perception of the court, which I'm sure matters to you. Politico says only 24% of people trust SCOTUS to issue a fair and nonpartisan ruling. Is the fear that the public has of political influence in the court valid? And is the court's fear that the public will no longer believe they're impartial valid?
I think that is a very good question for a particular reason. That's why I wrote this book.
Okay.
It is, because I wanted to show people that what most think, that this is all politics, that is not my experience. You never say zero about anything. Mm-hmm. But when I've been for 40 years with other judges and 28 on the Supreme Court, yeah. I think the people who try to get them appointed may have a lot to do with politics, mm-hmm. but they want a judge who will think that the law really requires those things that then they politically like. But the judge's point of view is he or she is deciding according to law. And that's why I write this, because I want to say it isn't a question of what the judge just likes or doesn't like. It isn't a question of just politics. It is a question of what approach you use. You say, do you just read text? Or do you look back to the values and purposes and consequences of the Constitution or what we're about in this country? Which of those do you choose? And I think that's important and does make a difference. And that's what people should focus on. And that's why I try to explain here what that consists of, how they might focus on it, and why it might make a difference to your life and my life and a life of every American. And I hope for the better.
I would hope for the better, too. Mm-hmm. And my follow-up, Your Honor, is that I agree that I'm sure that justices have a judicial philosophy through which they read the Constitution. But to believe that there is no partisan backing a judgment into the result you want, if they were always consistent on their judicial philosophy and always consistently textualist, do you find that to be the case, that your fellow justices are always consistent in the lens they use to judge the constitutionality of a case?
You aim at it and you never know if you get there. Of course people are influenced by their backgrounds. Of course they're influenced by the lives they've had, by the philosophy they have. But suppose that you, not you, it wouldn't be you personally, but that you were an unpopular person. Impossible. But suppose
you
were.
Can't be done, but go ahead, yes.
But an unpopular person is in front of a judge for a trial.
Yes.
You don't want that judge to be influenced by how the public feels about that person. Mm-hmm. You don't want a judge to be influenced by popular opinion when he's judging a case. But what Professor Freund said, great professor at Harvard Law School, a great professor, and he said, the way that politics works in the court is this. No judge, not you or me or anyone else, should ever be influenced by the political temperature of the day. But every judge will and probably should be influenced by the climate of the era. A little profound, a little obscure, but the more you think about that phrase, the more it sort of rings a bell in my mind.
Doesn't seem obscure at all. I mean, especially since we know that climate change is real. In what way is the climate changing the court? I guess what I'm asking, where is the flooding happening in the Supreme Court? Is it in democracy? Is it in free speech rights? Where is the flooding up there? Where do you need waiters when you're talking in the Supreme Court?
Go back into the past for a second. And you will know, and probably most of the people who are listening will know, that there was a big change in the court at the time of the New Deal. Those cases which were there that said that Congress could not legislate a minimum wage or a maximum hour, those cases were gone. And instead, we were living not in prosperity, we were living in depression. And the court had to change to allow the Congress to pass more laws that they hoped, Roosevelt hoped, would get us out of the Depression. That was a change in a lot of the ways they looked at the words in the Constitution. Before that, that word property had a lot of weight. After that, control through agencies, control by Congress, had much more weight. That's a big change.
There's now, a lot of pressure to change that back right
that's
now.
That's right. And so I end the book with that question. And you know what my answer is? Oh, you're not going to like this.
What?
My answer is, I don't know. And I don't, and there are reasons, and no one knows. There's time. You're appointed to the Supreme Court tomorrow.
I am.
It'll take you 5 years. Take you 5 years, 3 years, some years, before you get used to it. And I was told by a president, the applause dies away very fast. And you're left with the job. And you better do that job well and like it. And that's the privilege of the court, that you have a job where you can, like a doctor, you don't stop paying attention when you just have an unusual case. You pay more attention. You pay attention to every case. You give what you have. You do your best. Now, that's the privilege of the job as you get older. And you try to do it. You try to live up to it. And that's why I say the new judges have time. They can see what might work and what might not. And the old judges have had that on anyway.
Well, you would know. I'm not going to fight you.
All right. Yes.
Speaking of your retirement, you know, when I was talking to you last time and you said that, you know, should you retire, what you want to do is cook more. We made a joke about that on the show. And we made a prop of that actual joke to give you tonight. This is your new cookbook. It is From Torts to Torts, How I Stopped Approaching the Bench and Started Approaching the Bunt. Stephen Breyer, we would love to give this to you as a thank you for being here.
Thank you.
But remind everybody, his new actual book is Reading the Constitution, Why I Chose Pragmatism, Not Textualism. Justice Stephen Breyer, thank you so much, sir. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus, starting May 1st.